Worship of the Lamb. I'm not sure how it all started, but anyway, there's probably a week or so ago, I'm not sure, maybe 2 weeks ago, I started studying on my own, just personal, about the subject of worship. And I've had to come to the conclusion that I know absolutely nothing about worshiping the Lord. But I want to know, and I want to learn. Amen. And I think that I have started on the first step of worshiping the Lord. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe the Lord has showed me, and I believe, like I said, I believe maybe the first step to this thing of worship, and that is the subject of love. If that thermometer back there that we're trying to get to go down, if it were, a real thermometer, the hotter you got, or the hotter it gets, the more it would rise. And if we were to gauge our love for the Lord like we would a thermometer, where would you be on that thermometer? Would you be up, or would it be down? I think about, when we think about love, I don't know that we fully understand, or will ever fully understand, what God's love really is like, what it's all about. I do know this, that we can say some things about love, and you know, it sometimes can be hollow, because if you don't know, it's hard to describe, it's hard to say it, if you've never experienced it. Now, the Bible says that God's love, when we get saved, God's love comes in our heart. And really, if you read that and you look up those words and you see some definitions there, it talks about God's love gushing out. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. It means to gush. Now, we might know what love is. Drip, drip, drip. But God says, my love, it just gushes. It gushes. That's the kind of love I want. I wrote this down. God's love is fervent, personal, uninhibited, excited, openly displayed. God's love. But guess what? That should be our love. That's how God wants us to love. That's how we should love. That's how we're supposed to love. Not because we do it, not because we can do it, but because God lives within us. And He has given us His love. His love is a supernatural kind of love. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 2. We're going to read a passage here. We'll turn over to another passage, and then we'll come back and finish up in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, the Lord is talking, He's writing a letter, He has written a letter to seven different churches. Out of those seven churches, there are two that God is talking to them, writing to them specifically about their love. This one that we're looking at this morning, and then there's another one in the church of Laodicea. And the Bible says of this church, the church in Laodicea, I were that you were hot or cold, but you're not, you're just lukewarm. You're lukewarm. Your love is lukewarm. It's just drip, drip, drip. And God says, I want it to be red hot. Red hot. That's the way our love for God ought to be. Revelation chapter 2, he is writing here to this church. He says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake," did you see that? "For my name's sake," for God's sake, namesake, "hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, folks, I want you to know that this morning I am not preaching a message to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. I'm preaching a message to you individually. You personally. This message this morning is for you. It's not for the church. It is for you. The Bible says in verse number 7, He, individually, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And I think the question is, God is asking us, this is the message. Are you going to hear? Are you going to listen? Now, every one of us, we know how this goes. In the book of James, it talks about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And we've talked about, and you know, we understand that when we say something, you know, we want a response. We expect people to respond to that. Hey, if I say, "Hey, come over here," you know, I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to have to pray about it. And, you know, maybe make a phone call about it or write a letter about it. You know, if I ask you to come over here, I want you to hear that, and I want you to come over here. But, you know, folks, listen, if God says it, if God puts it out there, then, folks, he's telling it, listen, it's up to you. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And, folks, listen, if we hear the message, there should be a response to that. Individually. Listen, if I were to title the message this morning, and really this is the question, have you left your first love? Have you left it? Not, you didn't lose it. You left it. Have you left your first love? And let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I sure do ask that you'd bless. Lord, I sure want to be used of you today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, help it not just to be a message that we pat each other on the back and walk out the door and everything's the same, Lord. We need to change. Lord, we need to change. And Lord, you're the only one that can do that. Help us, Lord. Help us to have an open heart. And Lord, help us to have ears to hear that we might hear the message, and Lord, we might put it into practice in our life. And we sure will thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you think about this church up here, you know, and it's an exciting thing to think about Calvary Baptist Church. We're here right here on Main Street, and you know, people ride by all the time. And no doubt when people ride by, they have an image in their mind. They think about Calvary Baptist Church. What do they think about it? Well, if you were to go, it would probably be really interesting to go up, to be able to go up and talk to people. Hey, what do you think about Calvary? What have you heard about Calvary? How would you describe Calvary Baptist Church? Well, you know, maybe the reason they would say what they said is because of an experience maybe they had when they came here. Maybe it's because they know a member of Calvary Baptist Church. And they base their judgment, or they base what they think about or what they know about Calvary on somebody that they've had an interaction with. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? Well, that could be good, or that could be really bad. You know, just depending on how those people responded to those people, right? You know, they could have all kinds of opinions of Calvary Baptist Church, right or wrong, based on just what they have heard or what they have seen or who they've talked to. That's amazing to think about that. By the way, that ought to cause us, it ought to help us to do and live the best that we can, because we never know who's watching us. We never know who's looking at our life. By the way, I can just promise you, there are people that are looking at your life. If you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church, there's people that's watching you, and they're looking at your life. They're examining you to see. By the way, they will also judge the Lord Jesus Christ by what they see in your life too. And so we should always be careful of that. But folks, can I just tell you, what people think is one thing, what God thinks is another. What God sees is the truth. What God sees is always right. What God sees, He's not afraid to say. He's not afraid to just lay it out all on the table and say, here it is. This is what it looks like. And if you look at this church right here, I'm going to tell you, there's some good things to say about it. But you know what? When he boils it all down, he says, you know what? There's a heart problem here. There's a problem of the heart. And you know what? There's a remedy for it. There's a fix for it. But you got to do something to get there, all right? So let's look at this church. Let's look at it. And let's see what the Lord has to say about this church. First of all, I want you to see the approval of this church. The Lord is writing this letter to a church, to a body of believers. And they are going to get some words, I believe, some words of approval, some words of encouragement. And he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Listen, this church was doing all kinds of things that was right, doing all kinds of things that was good. They were a serving church. They were busy doing God's work. Folks, I tell you, I think it's one of the great things that could be said of a church is they're busy for God. They're working. They're doing something for God. And I tell you, it's always been amazing. Every time I pull up on the church parking lot, just about for any event that we have, anything that we have here, and there's a parking lot full of people. Boy, that's exciting. And you know what? I believe that speaks to the community as they drive by. They look up there and they say, man, what's going on up there? Boy, that's a busy church. They're always seem like they're doing something. Boy, they are busy doing God's work. It's a sacrificing church. The Bible says that they labored. They labored. I mean, they worked. You know, there's probably nothing worse than a lazy Christian. Somebody claims to be a Christian and they're lazy. They won't do anything. Won't do anything on the job. Won't do anything at the church. I mean, they're just lazy. I tell you, that's a sad thing. But these folks were not like that. They were a sacrificing church. They labored. The Bible says this word labor means it's to the toll, to the point of exhaustion. I mean, they worked night and day. They were busy doing God's work. And then, not only that, but they were steadfast. They were patient. They endured under trial. By the way, this church was under heavy persecution. But they were patient. They endured under trial. They just kept on going. They were a separated church. Boy, now listen, all these things, these are great things. They were a separated church. They examined false teachers by what they taught. By the way, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. Boy, we ought to always make sure that what's being said or what's being taught or what we say or do, listen, it's got to be by the book. It's got to be by the Bible. If it's not, it's of no value whatsoever. Don't follow somebody just because they stand up and hold the Bible and say something. Boy, if it's not in the book, don't fool with it. Don't bother with it. It's just useless, all right? And they would examine these people. And they said, listen, hey, we found some that wasn't true. And but they did away with them. They wouldn't have nothing to do with them. And then the Bible says they suffered patiently, bore their burden, and toiled without fainting. I mean, boy, this is a great church. You'd look at it. Listen, if we were moving into this town right here, we would read what they had said on their website. And we would have looked at that and we'd have said, you know what? They'd probably got five stars all the way around. And we looked at that and they said, you know what, that's where I want to put my family. That's where I'm going to raise my family right there. Look at that church. Boy, they're a good church. But you know what? God didn't put his approval on this church. He said, now there's some good things here. Don't get me wrong. There's some good things. You're doing some good things. But God says, listen, there's a problem. There's an issue here. There's an issue that has to be fixed. And he said, you've left your first love. You've left it. And there's got to be a change about it. There's got to be some change in that. There's an accusation here. The Bible says in verse number 4, they had left their first love. Their works, their labor, their patience was not motivated by love. Now, folks, why is love so important? Why is love so important? Now, listen, I'm telling you, I don't know. I guarantee you, I don't know everything there is about it. But I'm just thinking about love in my own life. Love, husband and wife love, you know, family love, those kind of things. Listen, if I love my wife, there's not much that she could ask me to do. Shouldn't be anything, but I'm giving myself an out here. There's not much that she could ask me to do that I wouldn't be willing to do for her. Would y'all agree with that? Now listen. Now, if God said, this is what I want you to do, could we look Him in the eye and say, God, I can't do that. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't, wait a minute. We wouldn't do it. When I say you, I'm in there with you, right? We wouldn't look Him in the eye and say that. We just probably wouldn't do it. And don't raise your hand. Don't stand up and, you know, shout, that's me. But has God ever asked you to do anything and you didn't do it? I'd have to say, yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I'd have to say that. Amen. Listen, if I love my wife, I'm going to do everything I can to try to please her. I'm going to try to make her happy. I'm going to try to do what I can to go out of my way, whatever it is, to do what I need to do so she will love me back, or love me and I can love her and show her love and all those things. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, when we start looking at, if we start examining how much we love God, I'm afraid this thermometer is not where it needs to be. Our love for the Lord is not what it needs to be. He says, listen, he said, you've worked, you've labored, and you've been patient under persecution, but God says, listen, you're doing all these things not because you love me, but because you have followed, or you have swallowed the lie of the devil that labor is a substitute for love. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, labor is never and never can be a substitute for love. Just because we are busy, just because we come to church three times a week or whatever, does not mean that we love God. It should, but it doesn't always mean that we love God. Labor is no substitute for love. I tell you, I think about, as I was thinking this morning about this message, like I said, I have been working on this. I've been working, like I said, on studying what it means to worship God. And I thought about Mary and Martha this morning. I was thinking about Mary and Martha. And Martha, boy, she was busy. And I mean, she was working. She was at a fever pitch. She was doing everything she could. Listen, I don't have a doubt. I don't have a doubt that she wasn't doing what she was doing because I think she loved God. I really do. I think she did. And she was working hard to do it. But you know what? Mary, there was something different about Mary. There's something different about her. And listen, we read after her and we hold her up in high esteem, and I think we should. And listen, the Bible says she has chosen the greater part. Listen, she wanted to hear what God had to say. She wanted to hear the message. She wanted to hear the Word of God. But you know what? I'd never put this together. I believe that Mary loved God with all of her heart. And she wanted to be with Him. She wanted to truly worship God. Listen to this. People who worship God love Him supremely. People who worship God. How can you worship God if you don't love Him? How can you? I just don't believe you can. I believe Mary, more than anything else, loved God. And she wanted to be with Him. There was an accusation. You have left your first love. Now, hold your place here, if you would, and go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want us to look at something this morning about love. If you know anything about the Bible, you've heard very much preaching at all, you know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible, and that is true. There's, you know, no doubt about that. You know, there's a lot to be said about love in this book, in this chapter. All right? Chapter number 13. Look at what he says, verse number 1. The Bible says, though... Now, by the way, this is the opposite. This is the negative. This is the negative. This is not how we should live our life. This is not how love should be. But he says this. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see all the good things that is being done here and being said about these people and what they were doing and all this? Do you see that? But when you sum it all up, he says it's nothing. It's nothing. Let me read it like this right here. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. And listen, I believe what he's talking about here. Listen, I have these persuasive words. I can speak to men and move crowds. I can speak to the angels and move the angels. I have the gift of language here of speaking to these men and angels. I have the gift of prophecy, all understanding, all knowledge, all faith to remove mountains. I give away all my possessions. I give my body to be burned. And he says you can add it all up, total it all up, and it's nothing. It's not worth anything of no value. It's of no value whatsoever. You know what? What you really have to conclude is that it's just a lot of noise. It's just a big noise. If I were to take a songbook and drop it on this platform, that would probably be a big noise. I would do that, but I'm afraid I'd wake some of you up and then y'all get mad and you probably wouldn't come back, right? But you drop, make a big noise. What would you do? It wouldn't matter what I was doing. If I was singing, you'd probably be really paying attention. But if I was talking or something and I made this noise happen over here, you know what would happen? Everybody would stop looking at me. And you'd look and say, "Well, where'd that noise? What was that noise?" It draws your attention to it, don't it? Do you know? Sometimes people do things to do the things that they do, and it makes a noise and draws attention. Now, I'm not saying that when we do things, you know, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, we've got to be careful that we don't draw attention to ourselves. That we get the attention off of God and to get it on us. Amen. Folks, listen, we don't need any attention. We don't deserve any attention. Everything ought to be directed toward God. We're to lift Him up. We're to magnify Him. Because He's the one that's worth it. Listen, I don't want people looking at me. I want people to look at the Lord. That's our goal. You see, that's what love does. That's what changes all of these things. He's not condemning these things that were being said. No, these are good things, but He says, if you don't have love, if they're not motivated out of love, He says, it's just a lot of noise and you're wasting your time. Look over in verse number 4. And in verse number 4 now, we find out really this is what love ought to be. This is the way love is. This is the way love is. This is the way we're to be. Verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. What does that mean? Well, I always, if I counsel people, especially a married couple, and you know whether they're getting married or whether they're having trouble and all, I always go to this passage of Scripture and I say, well, you know, go read that passage of Scripture. When you get to these words, look them up, see what they say, write them down, define, you know, get a definition of what these words mean, write them down. Go back and talk to each other. Examine, you know, what she said, what he said. Compare notes. Talk about that. See what conclusion you come to. What is it saying here? What does this mean? What does this charity suffereth long? What does that really mean? Well, let me just give you some definitions of that that hopefully will help you. Charity, when he talks about suffereth long, means it has a long fuse. In other words, it takes a long time to get angry, right? Now, can I just tell you? Can I just be honest with you? I tell you, that right there is probably maybe the reason he has it first is because maybe it may be the one thing that we have the most trouble with. Now, can I tell you? Like I said, I've been studying, doing some things, and can I tell you that before I'm preaching this message to you, that God's already preached it to me, okay? And I've already had to get on my knees several times and ask God to forgive me and ask God to help me. God, listen, I'm telling you, God has done something in my heart because of the message and because of what I've seen and because of reading what he said here and him speaking to my heart. God, listen, God's done a work. And so I'm not trying to put something over you here, but I'm just telling you, we've got to be honest about this thing. Listen, a short temper reveals the fact that our love is just not what it's supposed to be. Now, we understand that a lot of times we use these verses in a husband and wife relationship, that kind of thing. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, this is not just husband and wife. This is everybody. Listen, I ought to love you, and I understand. You know, I feel like I have to keep explaining myself, but I understand. There's a, you know, my wife and I, we have a different relationship than what I have with Brother Dan, right, Brother Dan? Hallelujah, right? But can I just tell you that I'm supposed to love him? Just like God loves me. Now I'm going to tell you, if y'all know Brother Dan, y'all would know that is a tall order. You got to get a 12-foot step ladder for that one, right? That is a tall order. And by the way, same would be true for me. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, if you look around, and if there's somebody in here that you can't walk up to, look them in the eye and say, I love you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. Right. Yeah, there's something, I mean, wrong, rotten, rotten wrong in you in order to be there. Folks, listen, we're to love. Matter of fact, we can't help but love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And that word, when it talks about shed abroad, it means to gush out. Gush out. You know what that means? It means to gush out, yeah. It just means, it goes everywhere. Listen, if you're gushing out everywhere, you're going to get it on everybody you come in contact with. You can't walk up to somebody. If it's gushing out, you can't walk up to somebody and it not get all over them. Amen. Amen. And by the way, it ought to. Love is what, you've heard that song, What the World Needs Now? That's not a good song, but anyway. it did come to my mind. The world needs now is love. And you know, they don't know what they're talking about, but we do. And that would be a true statement. Our world has gone crazy. It's gone crazy. But you know what? We're to love everybody just like Christ loves those people. We're to love them. And that God's love that lives within our heart, it ought to be everywhere. Suffereth long means to have a long fuse. Love is kind means to be gentle. Love envieth not or vaunteth not itself means it's not puffed up or jealous or proud. It doesn't promote itself. You know, can I just tell you that if somebody gets blessed and I don't get blessed, do you know the tendency sometimes is to say, why'd he get blessed? He don't even come to church. He ain't right with God. What in the, you know, as the inspector of the universe, you know, we're pretty accurate on most things. We can look at somebody and tell what's in their heart. We can tell if they read their Bible or not. we could tell a lot about somebody just by looking at them. But you know what? In reality, we don't know nothing about anybody. We don't know what's in anybody's heart. We don't know what's in anybody's heart. And I'm going to tell you what, if God is blessing somebody, you know what our response should be? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God blessed them. God took care of them. God met a need there. God did something for them. God's working. Well, we ought to be excited about the fact that God is doing something. And by the way, when we get mad at somebody because of whatever, we're just telling the world, there's something wrong with my heart. I've got all kinds of heart trouble. And you can't see it. You can't tell it. You don't know it. Love seeketh not her own. Means love does not insist on having its own way. Have you ever been around or have you ever had to work around people that insisted it had to be their way? Had to be their way. Folks, you know what that's saying? Love problem, heart problem. Love is not easily provoked, not touchy or irritable. And boy, you know, we could probably park there for a little bit and talk about that. Love thinketh no evil, does not keep records. Love keeps no records of wrong. And boy, I tell you, it's one of the hardest things in the world to have that brain up there. You know, if it ever does remember something, it's usually something negative about what somebody else has done. Does not keep records. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is a description of a lifestyle of love. You know what? God wants us to have a lifestyle of love. You know, I think about Peter. When Peter came to the Lord one day and he really thought to himself, you know, he probably thought, you know, studied this thing out and really contemplated what he was getting ready to say. He goes up to the Lord and he said, Lord, should I forgive seven times? And he was probably pretty proud of himself to think, man, I'm going to forgive seven times. You know, the normal would be three. You know, three strikes, you're out. You know, you do three. You know, most of us don't even allow for that. But Peter said, Lord, if I forgive somebody seven times, is that good? And the Lord said, Peter, you're not even in the ballpark. Seven times 70. 490, or as many times as somebody asks you to forgive them. That's how you are to forgive. You know, folks, can I just tell you that's what true love is? That's what love is. Forgiving somebody no matter how many times they've messed up. I was telling the morning service this morning, I was thinking about some things that's happened in the past, and I'm using me as a personal illustration here, that, you know, there's people that come through from time to time. In the years that I've been here at Calvary, I have seen a lot of people come through, and I've seen people have struggles with addictions. I've seen people that's had struggles with all kinds of things, their marriage and different things like that. And, you know, just, I mean, all kinds of problems. And they come to you, and you talk to them, you spend time with them, and, boy, you pray with them, and you really think to yourself, you know, I think we got the answer this time. I really believe that they're going to be on the right path now. I think they're good to go. I think they're going to go on. And it'll be a couple years, and something will happen, and they'll go back. And then, you know what? They'll do that for a while, and then they'll come back to church, and they'll want to come back. And, you know, we, of course, we take people, and we say, yeah, come on back, and we'll talk to them and all. But, you know, if we're not careful, I'm talking about me, we're not careful, we'll get to the point to where I'll say, you know what? I've seen that before. They're not going to last. They're not going to make it. You got to talk to them. But they're not going to make it. Folks, and I just tell you that's just as wicked as the devil. That's terrible. You think about going to the Lord. How many times have you been to the Lord and said, Lord, again, here I am again. This same, I'm coming back again. Lord, would you forgive me? And the Lord says, you know what? I'll forgive you, but I know it ain't gonna last. I know it ain't gonna work. Can I just tell you, folks, love doesn't give up. Love never gives up on somebody. Love never gives up. Love always has in mind, hey, you know what? Those people right there are people God loved. And you know, as long as they've got breath, there's a chance. There's hope for that person. Folks, listen, God doesn't give up on us. We shouldn't give up on people. Back in the book of Revelation, he says this. He says there's a remedy. God says there's some good things that you're doing, but you know what? You don't have, you've left your first love. You don't love me like you should. And because of that, God says, here's some things that's got to happen. You got to, first of all, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. When was the last time? Where did you leave it? When was the last time that you had it? You remember, you know, if you lost your keys, you start thinking, when did I use them last? Where did I go outside? Did I go to the trash can? I hope I didn't go to the trash can, but did I go to the dumpster? Did I leave them in my pocket? You start thinking, where did I use them last? Where did I have them last? And then you go back from there and you start trying to put pieces back together. Folks, can I just tell you, the Lord is saying, listen, do you remember the way it used to be? Do you remember how you used to, when you first got saved? I don't know about you, but man, I can think about when we first got saved. I got saved, and then it wasn't too long after that my wife got saved. We was over at the old building. Man, I'm telling you what, that was something else. I think about that. I think about all the things God was doing. I mean, it seemed like we was always building. We were always moving chairs and tables, and we were doing stuff. It just seemed like something going on all the time. And we didn't want to miss a service. We didn't care what they were doing. Awanas, family night, baby night, whatever they had, we just felt like, hey, we need to be there for it. Didn't matter what was going on. We wanted to be there. We were afraid we'd miss something. If you love somebody, you know, you don't see all the faults and all the flaws that they have. Boy, love overlooks a lot of things. You know, when you walk into the church or when you pull up on the property, do you start seeing things that's negative? You start seeing somebody walking across the parking lot and you think, well, you know, well, I don't know about them. You pull up and you look at the carpet and say, man, why they got to make that carpet blue? Why did they put new light bulbs in? What in the world? Why is the air conditioning running? Do you start seeing problems all? And you can't get over those. You can't get past them. Do you know if that's the case, man, you might want to go get to the doctor and get your heart checked. You might want to go. There might be something stopped up in there. There might be an electrical problem. It's not hitting on all the cylinders that it's supposed to. Folks, listen. Love looks over so many things. You know, you don't get nowhere. You don't get as mad nowhere near as you used to when you're in love with somebody, or when you're in love with something. You can overlook so many things. Not that we excuse sin, and not that we try to cover over. Not that at all. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, we don't see nowhere near the negative when we love somebody. When we love somebody. And you know, folks, listen, remember what it was like when you first got saved. And then he says, when you do that, then repent. Repent. You know what he's saying? He's saying you're going in the wrong direction. You're going away from God. Turn around. Come back to God. Turn around and come back to God. You'd be surprised the difference it would make in your life. And then he says, repeat. Go back and do the first work. Go back and do those things that you know you need to be doing. I'll never forget when I was called to preach, and I told Preacher Baker about it. I remember it. I remember it just like it happened yesterday. It was at the old church, and he said, sit down right there. And I sat down on the front row. And he says, you know, there's a lot of things in the ministry you're going to face. There's a lot of things. He says, you're going to go through all kinds of issues. There's just going to be a world of things going to happen. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. You know, I'm really encouraged now. You know, he's really pumping me up. He said, but let me tell you the number one thing that you'll have problems. You'll struggle with this until the day you die. I thought, my goodness, what in the world? He says, your number one problem will be leaving your first love. Your number one problem will be leaving your first love. Can I tell you, you know what? He's absolutely right. It's the easiest involved in the ministry, working, doing all these things. And you know what? We lose sight of who we're serving. We lose sight of the fact that we're doing this because we love God. We love Him, and we'd do anything for Him. It don't make any difference what it is. My goodness. Folks, listen, I'm trusting Him to get me to heaven. What is it that He could ask of me that I wouldn't be willing to do? Amen. Folks, listen. Have you left your first love? Have you left it? If you have, get back to where you need to be. Now, I'm going to tell you one more little story. It'll be a quick one. I'll tell you one more story. It's supposed to be a true story. A man told me on Friday. He said he was watching the news. And he said these people were looting. They had broken this store and they had just, you know, taken stuff left and right. It was a man. He came running out of that store. And he had about 5 or 6 boxes of shoes. I mean, he was trying to get away from there as quick as he could. He had them in his hand. And you know, they're all bulky and all this stuff. He runs out of the store. He trips. When he trips, them shoes go everywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. And as soon as they hit the ground, buddy, people are there and they're scooping them up and they're taking off and running with them. News reporter comes up to him and says, what do you think about what just happened? What are your thoughts on that? And he looked him dead in the eye and he says, I hate a thief. Now, do y'all know why I told y'all that? Did the light bulb go off? It could be that you've left your first love and you don't even recognize it. You don't even realize that you did it. Folks, listen, we need to have an examination. Let God speak to your heart. Let God do something in your life. Would you do that? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come.